presentation of In Touch Ministries.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs, and you are listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast. This is a ministry of Merritt Assembly of God, the wonderful saints there, and they truly do appreciate the opportunity to bring this ministry to you, this message to you, and we do pray that it is a blessing to you throughout the county here. And if you're listening further down south or in the Bahamas, we welcome you. Brevard County is a great place. If you ever get to visit here, you will really enjoy it. My wife and I have been here for between 25 and 30 years. Absolutely love this place. My wife is from up north and just cannot stand snow. And this is a great place for her to be with that condition. And I am from Oklahoma. Gets hotter there than here, colder there than here. It does not snow here. It does not ice here. And it is a great place to be. They get tornadoes there. We get a few tornadoes here. We get hurricanes, and it's time to leave whenever the hurricanes start showing up. But this is an exciting week for me. Mother's Day is now in the rearview mirror, and that's not what makes it exciting. I appreciate my wife and my mother and my daughters, all the ladies in our church. We're very, very thankful for that. But this week is my birthday. And I always enjoy my birthday. In fact, my office manager, her birthday always falls on office administration day. And so it should be a dual celebration for her, but she takes that day off. And so last week on Monday, I asked her where she wanted to eat, and She has very expensive taste. She wanted a salad from Wendy's. By the way, I am blessed with the best office manager in Brevard County. Her name is Karen. She does an absolutely awesome job. She gets more done in a few hours than what other people could get done in an entire week. She knows where everything is at. She makes my job so much easier. And so for her birthday, I treat her to lunch, and that means that I go and get it and bring it back to the office. And so she said, I want a half a salad from Wendy's. And that's like, wow, you are really expensive. And then also treated her to a few gifts for office administrative week that same day. And it finally dawned on me. I said, now I understand why you always do this. You take your birthday off, and you take office administrator's day off. And I said, that way you get to stretch it out for 2 weeks. And she said, that's right. That's exactly right. So this is the week of my birthday. And that will be coming up on Friday of this week. I just really enjoy my birthday, and if the weather permits, I will probably be somewhere near a golf course. I'm just saying, that's what I like to do on my birthday. But I thought I would do something this week that I don't believe that I have ever done, and I want to take the rest of the week here to thank a few of the people who have businesses here in the county who I've got to know. I do business with on a frequent basis. And so I'd just like to say thank you to a few folks, if that would be okay with you. First of all, I'd like to start off by saying thank you to Dr. Hermannsdorfer down at Atlantic Orthopedic Services down in Melbourne, Florida. And Dr. Hermannsdorfer is the listener to the program. He may hear this, he may not, but when I was dealing with my shoulder issues My wife was doing some research. She works in the medical field, and she began to ask around and ask people who had been, who knew doctors and knew orthopedic surgeons and stuff like that. And she was told, if your husband ever wants to play golf again, go and see Dr. Hermannsdorfer. And so I did. And as I was sitting there discussing things with him, all of a sudden he realized that I was the speaker here from the radio program. And he said that he was a listener to the program, had actually encouraged people to come to our church. They hadn't shown up yet, but he had encouraged them to come to our church. And I will tell you, it was just a real joy dealing with him. I've known some other patients that he's had as well that we've had discussions with. We got to pray before we went into surgery. And my golf game, I have got to play several rounds of golf. It took a while before we could get back to that, but I started practicing back in December, hitting just a bucket of golf balls. And then I played a few rounds with my dad. I've played one round here locally, and then I played in a golf tournament. Played better in the golf tournament than I did the other times. But if you have any shoulder issues or orthopedic needs, I encourage you to check out Dr. Hermannsdorfer down in Melbourne, Florida. Again, that's Atlantic Orthopedic Group. And so thank you, Dr. Hermannsdorfer, for being a blessing in my life. So let's get into the Word of God today, if we can, while you're turning to Isaiah chapter 6. I do want to remind you that tomorrow will be our vintage service. We will be there at 11 a.m. We'll be sharing the Word, praying, believing God for miracles. And so we will be singing a number of older hymns or older choruses. We encourage you to come and be a part of that. You don't have to be old to come there. I want you to know there is no minimum age threshold. Just somebody who wants to come and hear the Word of God. So let's turn to Isaiah chapter 6 today. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings, and with two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed. Then I said, How long? And he answered, Until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant, the houses are without a man, the land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. But yet a tenth will be in it and will return and be for consuming as a terebinth tree or as an oak whose stump remains in it when it is cut down, so the holy seed shall be its stump. So we've talked a little bit about Isaiah chapter 6 and how we see the Lord, he sees the Lord sitting on a throne, that this was a time of transition. Uzziah had died. He had reigned for a long, long time, and now a new king was getting ready to come on to the throne. And we've discussed a little bit about how people tend to not like change. It really does have to do with our perspective on change. For the person, I liken it to a person who is moving. I've done a lot of moving in my life. I think at one point in time, my wife had counted up, we had on average moved once a year for the first 14 years of our marriage. It was just moving from one apartment to another apartment, to this place temporarily, to that place. And it was just a lot of moving. And most of those moves were not very consequential. A lot of them were local. You know, when my son was born, our place got literally overrun with fire ants in Texas. And my wife said, my baby is not going to be raised in this place with a bunch of fire ants. And so that prompted a move to a much more spacious place for the same amount of rent. It was a good move. And we stayed there for a few years. And then we came to Florida. We stayed in one apartment for a year, another apartment. And then we had the opportunity to move into a parsonage. And then we moved to the church. We were there for 7 years, and we've now been in our house for a long, long time. We're very thankful that we don't have to pack and move. I don't like packing and moving. But when those moves involved moving from one geographic location to another, it changes your perspective on the transition. I know that when we were here, we had some friends, and they relocated from Florida to Arizona, and they were so excited about the move, about this new adventure that they were going to have. They have gone out there. They've been pastors now for a long, long time. They served on staff in another church for a long time. They were excited because there was new adventure that was awaiting them. There was going to be new things that they would experience. There was going to be a new normal. And so they were excited about all of the new things that were going to take place. But for those of us who were left behind, we were just here, except for now, people that we loved and cared about were now no longer in our midst. They were no longer in our general locale. And so when that transition took place, there was now a hole in our life that it wasn't a new adventure. It was now a void. And so they were looking at adventure. We were looking at loss. And it changed the perspective on it. It changed how you had to deal with it. And you could either lament the loss, you could hang on to the loss, or you could say, you know what, God, you have someone that is going to come in and that I'm going to be able to minister to. You have someone in my life that I'm going to be able to minister to as a result of this. The 2 Corinthians says that we comfort those with the comfort that we have received. And so I want to encourage you today that if you are going through one of those difficult transitions, not the adventure, that's what happens when people, you know, are promoted into eternity, is there's a whole new adventure awaiting them, a new lifestyle, a lifestyle without sickness, a lifestyle without temptation, a lifestyle without failure, without debt, without pain, without suffering. It's a whole new adventure. There's going to be a myriad of people that they are going to be able to converse with. They're going to be that great cloud of witnesses that is talked about in Hebrews chapter 12. It is a great adventure for them, being able to be around the throne and worshiping nonstop. What a phenomenal way to live. And so that's for them. But we are left with a loss, and God sends the Holy Spirit to comfort us at that point in time, to help us not only heal from that transition that has taken place in our life, but also to be equipped to be a minister for such a time as is needed. So it says here in verse number 2, it begins to talk about the seraphim, and that one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." A couple of things that I want to share with you about this passage is, first of all, the declaration that holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Holy, it means that he is without flaw. He is perfect. He is without any of the sin limitations that you and I have. We, our personalities have been altered by sin. His has not. Our past is checkered with sin and our encounters with sin, but his is not. He's holy. He is perfect. He is without flaw. He is without any sort of blemish whatsoever. And I've got good news for you. He says, be holy even as I am holy, saith the Lord. Today, God wants to speak a declaration over your life. And that is not that you remain in your sin, not that you are forgiven of your sin, but you remain in the same pit of your sin. But he wants to come and bring transformation to your life, to my life, so that we can experience the highest quality of life that exists, and that is the life of holiness. Holiness is not an anchor for the believer that weighs us down. Holiness is the highest quality of life that we can lead. It is being empowered by God, set apart by God for the purpose of God with the intent on pleasing God. What better lifestyle could there possibly be than a life filled with holiness? A lot of people have tried to redefine holiness and say it is a list of, you know, what your hair looks like and what your attire looks like and how long it is and all of this sort of stuff. Holiness is something that takes place in your heart that manifests externally through the life that you live. A holy mouth speaks differently than a mouth of sin. A holy mind thinks differently than a mind that is fixated on sin. A person who is forgiven and empowered by the Spirit of holiness lives differently with different priorities, with a higher aspirations than a selfish person does. And God is holy. The one great thing that you will always encounter throughout the scripture is that when people have a God encounter, whether it's with God himself in a vision, whether it is through the glorified transfiguration of Jesus, whether it is a theophany in the Old Testament where the Lord appears in human form, or whether it is with an encounter with an angel, each and every time they come away from that with the perspective of just how pure and holy God is. How pure and holy God is. It is something that is so hard for, you know why? It is a struggle for us to comprehend such holiness because we are used to living in a world where there is so many people who will let you down because they are not authentic, they're not genuine, and they have flaws. You see, the dating process that people go through here in America, it's all about concealing flaws. It's about putting your best foot forward. It's about putting your best face forward. It's about putting your best behavior forward and trying to convince that person of just how wonderful you are. And you do that by masking your imperfections so that they only see the good. And then all of a sudden, when you're married and there's no place to hide, all of a sudden people begin to see the realities and the imperfections that come along. Jacob did not realize he had not married Rachel until he woke up the next morning and he saw Leah and said, you're not the person that I thought that I married. By the way, I will tell you this, Jacob ended up being in love with Leah and he buried her with Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Rebecca. And when he could have chosen any place on the planet that he could have been buried, he chose to be buried next to Leah. And so he even though the relationship got off to a very rocky start, It was a relationship based on deception. It ended up being a relationship that was very precious to both of them. And so I want to encourage you that if you got into a relationship and you say, you know what, this isn't what I bargained for, don't just automatically throw in the towel and run away. Yeah, I do encourage people who are in relationships or about to be in relationships or thinking of being in relationships, seek the face of God, because here's the reality. Relationships are hard work. They are hard work with God. They are extremely hard without God. And so Jacob woke up and he said, this is not what I bargained for at all. So we live in a society where people are constantly trying to mask their imperfections. That's why I have no problem on here making fun of myself. I want you to know I am a very real person. I have very real struggles. I know what some of the issues that my family struggles with from a historical perspective. I have a tongue that could get me in trouble very easily. That's why I tell you here, you know, the scripture that says in a multitude of where there's a multitude of words, sin is not very far away. If you hear me say something stupid on the air, please don't think that I am a heretic. Like, you can go and do a search on any preacher on the internet and just type in their name, and you will find a whole list of things that people have scrutinized their sermons. They have scrutinized their statements, and they have labeled this heresy and that heresy and this over here a heretic and all of these sorts of things. And I want you to know something. I want to be a proclaimer of the Word of God. I want it to be sound. But I tell you what, I also realize that none of us are perfect. My mouth is not perfect. When I listen to myself on the radio, I hear imperfections that maybe other people don't pick up on, but I pick up on them. So I'm trying to improve on those things. But I want to ask you this. What are you doing? Before you judge what that person is doing with their mouth, what are you doing with yours? Are you proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ with a great deal of frequency as they are? Are you praying for as many people to be saved as they are? Are you testifying and evangelizing? So before we go pointing out the speck in somebody else's eye, let's make sure that we do not have a beam in our own. And so you will not find a perfect speaker here on the Refresh Radio program. I am very authentic and very genuine. This is who I am. This is the way that I preach. This is the way that I speak. It is who I am. And so God is holy. Whenever you look at human beings, you're going to find that they are flawed. Whenever you look at God, you are going to find that the devil will accuse him of being flawed while he is actually perfect. And you will find the devil, who thinks that he is without flaw, you will find that he's a liar, he's a thief, he's a murderer. You will not find anything desirable in his personality. Now, it was the seraphim that were crying these things out. They spend their entire existence around the throne room of God. They are constantly in the presence of God. And their declaration from all of that time being spent in the presence of God is that God is holy. God is holy. I encourage you to do this, that you find out the reality of a person from the people who spend the most time with them. You see, the seraphim were not there because they had to be there. I mean, that may be their assignment, but their declaration of holiness is not something that's got to come out of their mouth. They're not robots. They're not automatons that, you know, you push the button and it comes out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." I mean, If that was all that God was looking for, he wouldn't need angelic beings of this caliber crying around saying that. All he would have to have is a tape recorder and just push the button. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. But instead, there are angelic beings around the throne of God who spend their entire existence there, who spend, you know, from our perspective, 24 hours a day. And these are angelic beings who know the nature of God. And they want everybody who listens to them to know what they see in this one that we call King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that is, they say, he's holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Holy, holy, holy. And when they said it once, they will say it again, because it is emanating from the core of their being. They want everyone to know that this God who loves humanity, the God who initiated this vision of Isaiah in chapter 6, that he never operates from a position of unholiness, because there is no wickedness found in him, no weakness found in him. There is no foolishness found in him. He is holy. He is without flaw. He is set apart from everyone. There is no one beside him, none like him, none can compare to him. He is holy. With that being the declaration, wouldn't you want to spend an eternity in the presence of a holy God instead of an eternity in the presence of a lying, thieving, murdering, satanic being? I would not. Hell has no draw to me. There is no attraction there. What I want to experience is the goodness and the greatness that I read about in the scriptures, about a God who is love, a God who cares for fallen humanity, a God who loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. A God who says, I want to work for you. I want to call you according to my purpose. I want to empower you to live a life of victory. And I want to lead you in triumphal procession, not occasionally, but always. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. I pray that you'll spend part of today with this God who is absolutely holy. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.